You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 452 of Locked On Raptors for Friday, January 18th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. And of course, make sure you check out the Locked On Podcast Network team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We've got Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. We've got Locked On NBA Daily with a bunch of different hosts from across the network chipping in there. Weekly contributions from Ben Golliver of the Washington Post and Sam Amick of The Athletic. And you can find all the podcasts together on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. And also, there's the Locked On NFL side of things as well. If you're a fan of one of the four teams playing in the conference championships this weekend, make sure you're checking out the corresponding Locked On show. Locked On Patriots, Locked On Chiefs, Locked On Rams, and Locked On Saints have all that covered. I'm sure they probably did some crossover episode action as well with the opposing podcast. So find a show on the network that you like. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, I guess that's the same thing, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, any place you get your podcast. It's extremely helpful, good for algorithms, good for making us more visible and easily, readily available to new listeners, and I appreciate it very, very much. All right, on today's show, the Raptors beat the Phoenix Suns last night 111-109 on a game-winning layup by Pascal Siakam. It was really fun. It was kind of a bizarre game. Kawhi Leonard didn't play. There was no OG Anunoby once again for the Raptors. Kyle Lowry was not supposed to play and then ended up playing 40 minutes, which is great. But to talk about this game and a whole bunch more from the Raptors HQ website, of course, that I write for, and as well the That's a Wrap podcast, is Jay Rosales. How's it going, man?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm doing well. I mean, can't complain after, I know it wasn't the greatest win, but a win's a win, I guess. And I guess we're going to dive into this Atlanta game. This Phoenix game. I couldn't help but say Atlanta because it's just another example of us, you know, kind of playing down to our competition and somehow eking out a win.
Yeah, it was not the best Raptors performance ever. I don't think it was particularly awful. I think, you know, the Suns deserve some credit. They played reasonably well. Full disclosure, this game I was watching while also at work, so I didn't, like, watch it maybe with the same attention to detail that I would normally have, but I wasn't, like, that discouraged by the way the Raptors played, per se. But, yeah, not their best game of all time. Do you have a standout takeaway from this game, Jay, that you had, after the game finished, after the dust settled? Do you have a big takeaway?
I think the biggest takeaway for me was, I know I'm not the only one thinking this, it's the end of the game, and seeing Pascal take that ISO. I know it wasn't, you know, the most creative play that Nurse could have called, but This is what the end of game plays are looking like for the Raptors, and it has been, right? I mean, if this is last year, the year before, the defense knows it's going to be DeRozan. They kind of know what to expect. Siakam, you know, they kind of threw them in for a loop. I know that after the game, several Phoenix players and coaches were interviewed, and they all were like, we had no idea what he was going to do. Even Pascal didn't know what he was going to do. So that element of surprise and not knowing what was going to happen next really worked in our favor, obviously. And it's exciting to see because, you know, his growth as a player has been really, you know, blown up throughout this year, and this is almost like the icing on the cake, right? I mean, if you needed any more indication that he's the leading candidate for most improved player, I mean, this game kind of showed a little bit of everything that he does. And yeah, I mean, I got all giddy the second Lowry handed it off to him. I was excited. Like, I wouldn't say that I was 1,000% sure that he was going to score, but I was just like everyone else who was watching. I had no idea what he was going to do. He could have gone right, he could have gone left, he could have, you know, spot up for three. That's the exciting part about him. And, you know, I think and I hope that this opens up the playbook a little bit for end of games and what we have and what we can do in the clutch.
Yeah, it can't hurt to diversify things a little bit, right? And, like, it was a strange sort of feeling watching that. There was only, whatever it was, 13 seconds on the clock, and, like, Siakam really just, like, milked that clock for all it was worth. Didn't really make his move to the basket until there were, like, 2 seconds left, and he's one of the few guys for which that's not a problem because he can get to the basket in, like, 3 steps and it's no problem. But yeah, I thought it was a little curious. I thought for sure it was going to be a thing where he was going to pass off to somebody, maybe draw some help with a spin move or something like that. And then maybe you'd see like Danny Green launch a three or something like that. But no, it was, I liked the way the Suns seemed so perplexed by it after the game. That was a thing I think you want a defense to feel after a late game play call. And like, obviously it was sort of born out of circumstance, right? Without Kawhi Leonard, you kind of got to get a little creative. Kyle's shot hadn't been falling particularly with much regularity last night. And Siakam is kind of a guy who like, you know, maybe deserves a shot like that, right? To kind of go for a last second win. And, you know, I don't know if it went exactly as planned. I don't know if going at 2 seconds left on the clock was sort of in the game plan for the play for Siakam or Nick Nurse when he drew it up, but it worked out and it was really cool to see and really fun, the reaction. My favorite was Jakob Poeltl doing his Instagram story about it. That made me melt a little bit inside. It was really cool, and Siakam deserves that, I think. And it was a really nice game from him altogether. You know, one of his like lesser offensive performances, right? He was only 4 of 8, 0 of 3 from deep. You could use that as a bit of a sort of discouraging note if you wanted to, especially considering he only had 6 points against Boston on Wednesday as well. But the other aspects of his game the last 2 nights have been really on display, and the passing from him, man, it has been just ridiculous lately. And the vision he's showing, and like, this is going to be the thing that he has to do, right? It's teams are going to give him space. Teams are going to give him a lot of runway, and he has to do something with that runway. And, you know, the spin move is very useful, obviously, and good. And he hasn't missed a shot from 8 feet out in his entire career, it seems. But like, it does seem like teams are kind of gearing up for that spin move in a way they weren't at the start of the season. And they're asking him to make counters. And the counter for him a lot of the time is, you know, you absorb the help defense and then you find an open shooter. And he's done that really well. There was a play he made against Boston that I actually highlighted in a post that's going up on HQ today, my What Didn't Suck post. Like, he got the ball on the roll and just found Danny Green wide open in the corner with like a beautiful Draymond Greeny pass. And that is going to be the next phase for him. And that's what's going to keep him on the floor in playoff series. Even if he's not hitting his threes, teams are going to give him enough room where he can use that space as an asset and as an ally to him, as opposed to, you know, some guys will use that space in front of them as just sort of like a thing to psych themselves out when they're taking their threes. Like, you know, Siakam is not Tony Allen. He can use that space to do something good and cause havoc for a defense, and that's going to force teams to readjust their scheme that way. So the fact that he's taking this sort of next step of NBA defense and how they're approaching him and using it for good is really, really encouraging to me. Also, the rebounding's nice. He had 12 boards last night, and the blocks are kind of racking up a little bit. His defense, I thought, was kind of at maybe the best I've seen it all season last night. Like, he hasn't been, I don't think, like a standout incredible defender, and it's tough because he's playing next to like Danny Green and Kawhi, so those guys kind of steal the thunder a little bit defensively. But I think Siakam last night had a couple really nice defensive stands. I think there was one with like Devin Booker maybe driving on him. He was switched onto him, or it might have been like TJ Warren, but he kind of just like, it was in the second half and he just sort of like stripped it away. I think Kyle Lowry recovered it on the baseline. It was just like a really nice defensive stand against a guy who was smaller than him and faster than him. I guess no one's faster than him, but in theory faster than him as a guard. So yeah, really impressive game from Siakam altogether. Did you have anything else in this game that you that was of note to you?
Well, I think the only other thing that I really wanted to bring out is there's a couple of things. Number one is CJ Miles, welcome back.
Yes,
I am
building that trade value.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I can't believe 13 points is a season high for him. But you know, even any shot falling for him is a good sign. But yeah, 3 of 5 from three. You know, like I said, season high, 13 points. And, you know, you almost felt like his when he entered the game and hit that bank shot in his first possession, it was almost like a big motivator for him, right? Like, okay, I got this, you know. And from then on, he was, you know, hitting 3 of 5 from three, and he did really well. So that was a really positive sign. On the, I guess, other end, Kyle Lowry's shooting continues to be a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people are going to continue harping on that, but let's not get away from the fact that everything else about his game is just extremely positive for this team. I mean, if I were to call out a specific play, it would have been that time when I believe he had turned it over and was running down the court trying to stop the fast break, and he managed to somehow not block it, not get called for a foul on trying to stop the layup attempt. And, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, the Suns still got free throws out of it. But, I mean, his awareness of his body and his awareness of the situation, you know, not being able to foul, he has so much more of an impact on this team that's sometimes not even like tangible, that it's just immense for this team's growth. That if you're just going to focus on his shooting, you're missing the point. His value of this team is just immeasurable. And you go ahead and pick on the shooting, but he's got so much more value in so many other areas of his game.
Yeah, plus minus is a reductive stat, but he was plus 11 last night despite going 4 of 15 and 2 of 10 from deep, and that was the team best mark. And, like, he's so good. He's so active. He does little things all over the place. I love how on this week's podcast with Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz, when they were doing their All-Star conversation, it sounds like Zach's going to put Kyle on his team. Arnovitz did not include him, but, like, the conversation they had about him was extremely enlightening and just sort of, I think, hopefully sort of illuminates some people who maybe don't watch Lowry all the time. Maybe they have, like, a bad impression because of his playoff shooting or whatever, that he's just, like, this guy who was always going to kind of be limited. But, like, the things he does are so immeasurable, you can't really quantify them. And last night was a perfect example, man. Like, he was just incredible and just sort of steadied the entire ship. And the 8 assists are nice. The 9 boards were crucial. And, yeah, there's not a whole lot else you can say about Kyle Lowry. Wish he didn't play 40 minutes. That's for sure a concern. And I don't know why he had to play 40 minutes, considering DeLon Wright had a decent game and Fred VanVleet played 31 minutes as a starter. Like, that's maybe a bit of sort of rotation mismanagement that, you know, Nick Nurse maybe has fallen him a little bit. You know, I'd like to see, hopefully, you know, they play Memphis on Saturday. Maybe you sit Kyle for that one and just sort of say, yeah, dude, we're going to just like keep you out of this one. You know, we just played 3 and 4 nights, or we're about to have 3 and 4 nights. Maybe you just relax. We'll have Kawhi come back and it'll be fine. And then they can kind of hit the ground running next week with them playing again. Because Kyle's had a pretty exhausting week with the back-to-back and the 50 minutes against the Wizards on Sunday. But, you know, and I like how he like seems to recognize that his shooting's not there. I mean, obviously, it'd be hard not to. He's really smart. He knows what his shooting lines are. But, you know, the things he said after the game where, you know, it's just like a matter of getting back into shape and working on it. Like, I think there's still much better Kyle Lowry, to shooting-wise, coming in the next couple months than there has been the last couple months, you know, as he's been dealing with the injury and kind of not been 100%. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he gets back to what he was at the start of the season. He was a flamethrower at the start of the season. And I think the health concerns hopefully are behind him now, and he's just kind of ramping back up into game shape. And, you know, he's looking Kyle Lowry-ish, that's for sure. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back on the other side. I want to talk a little bit about Miles and some trade stuff. But first, I want to remind people to check out the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter and Instagram. If you go to Locked On NBA Net and at Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram, it's great. On Twitter, you will just get all of the hosts from the given network into one feed. You don't got to go follow all 60 hosts or whatever it is on the network. You just follow that one feed, and all of their basketball-relevant or football-relevant tweets are going to be retweeted right in there. Fresh podcasts, observations during live game action, breaking news reactions, all that stuff into the Locked On NBA Twitter feed and at Locked On NFL Twitter feed. And then on Instagram, we're posting little snippets of podcasts, you know, 30 seconds to a minute of the biggest stories of the day from the podcast about the team, you know, that is of the most interest of the day. And it's a nice way to liven up your Instagram feed. So make sure you're checking that out. And if you want to listen to the full podcast, you can. If not, you just have like a little condensed take on your Instagram feed for you to take in. So make sure you're following Locked On NBA Net and at Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram. All right, you mentioned CJ Miles, Jay. He was 5 of 7 for 13 points last night, a nice little spark off the bench. It was great to see, and he looked happy. He looked like he was kind of relieved a little bit to see some shots finally go in. And this kind of, you know, Miles has been a guy who's been thrown into a lot of trade machine conversations. And I don't know, I wonder how you feel, because it's been very much just like trade talk season all week on Raptors internet, and I kind of haven't touched on it because I don't really care that much about fake trades and trade machine. The trade machine is a scourge that should be deleted from the internet entirely. But I guess it is worth talking about right now because of sort of the lack of shooting the team. You know, they were 7 of 28 from 3 last night. They've not been awesome percentage-wise. They got the volume, and they have the track record of a lot of guys you would think would eventually kind of turn things around and sort of regress positively to the mean. Hasn't quite happened yet this season. Are you concerned, and concerned enough to think the Raptors need to make some sort of deal before the deadline here? Are you thinking this team is fine, they're 34-13? I think people kind of know what side of this I'm on, but I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, you touched on a couple of things there. Number one, I absolutely love the trade machine. At the very least, I use it to, I guess, shut a lot of people up when they come up with these outlandish trade requests or trade ideas. Because at the same time, it also kind of adds a little bit of reality to what's possible out there. Not that we're going to say that these trades should be done or are going to happen, because at the end of the day, I mean, we saw what Masai was able to do for using Kawhi as an example. I don't even know if that would have passed the trade machine. I have no idea. But I love the trade machine. If anything, it helps me pass my time. Having said that, Miles is absolutely, I don't know, absolutely, but I don't think he's very tradable.
Yeah.
To answer your question, the short answer is no. I don't think that, A, we're going to be making any significant trades, or any trades for that matter. And B, there really is not anything that realistically is out there that meets the many bits of criteria that are needed to pull off a trade. Like, number one, it's got to make the team better. We're not trying to move from like 98% to 100%. It's worth leveraging the future to try to improve on the margins.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup of our team is very good and has not changed. I think a lot of the problems, whether it be rebounding, bench, overall lineup changes, a lot of that will get solved when JV comes back.
Mm-hmm.
If you had told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have thought you were crazy, because I was not on the JV bandwagon. But as we've seen throughout the season, I mean, he's been surprisingly our, at least from a statistical standpoint, one of our best, if not the best, defender, which is just mind-boggling for me. So he'll bring that presence, and he'll bring that balance back to this roster when he does return. So, yeah, I don't think that there's any changes that we should make, nor are there really any feasible ones. I've obviously played around with the trade machine, as I was touting earlier. And, you know, there are some fun ones that you can come up with, but again, at the end of the day, it's like, These GMs are a lot smarter than we could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least our GM is. So, you know, as much as I love to, and I could easily have a whole podcast episode worthy length of just trade machine ideas, things that work in the trade machine, but I'm not going to bore you with that. Just know that it's there, it's fine, but Raptors are, for the most part, they're staying put.
Yeah, I guess like it comes down to what you think the Raptors' ceiling is as it stands. And I think this team can make the finals. I don't think they need like a piece to be able to be a finals team like they've shown all season. Yes, their point differential is lesser than Milwaukee's, but I think Milwaukee, you know, they've benefited from, you know, pretty much spotless health all season long. And, you know, I think the Raptors match up with Milwaukee reasonably well. So I just like they can make the finals as is, I think. This is kind of how I felt back in 2015-16, where the Raptors were, that was the 56-win season. They were very, very good. And like a lot of people were clamoring for a Markieff Morris trade, I recall. And it was like, oh, they need this to get them over to their ceiling. And I thought their ceiling all along was conference finals. And I didn't think they needed to make the deal to make the conference finals. And lo and behold, it's the first thing I've ever been right about. And they've made the conference finals without trading for Markieff Morris. And that turns out to have been a very good decision as it, in the long run. That's how how I feel about this team, right? And I agree. There's not really a deal out there where you're making a significant improvement. Because I've seen a lot of deals out there where it's just like, Raptors throw a bunch of their garbage into a bag and throw it at a team. And hey, now they have CJ McCollum. Like, that's not going to happen. CJ Miles is a very difficult piece to trade. He has a player option for next year for $8 million. That is not a thing I think a team wants to take on. Yes, he's a wonderful veteran player to have around. He's got a great smile. His family seems delightful. I don't think he's a very tradable piece right now, even as a salary matching guy that you're throwing in. Norm Powell's difficult. I mean, that's an easy one to match salaries with if you're trying to find somebody out there who's a bit of an improvement on Norm, but I'm not sure a team wants to take on 3 more years of Norm Powell when we only have a bit of this season showing that he's probably worth that money. And, you know, it's still kind of the jury's out on whether or not he's going to be an Albatross deal or not. DeLon Wright has a strange free agency decision coming up for him, and I'm not sure a team's going to want to take that on. And, like, I've seen deals where it's like DeLon gets traded to, like, the Nets for Joe Harris. And it's like, Joe Harris has been really damn good for the Nets this season. The Nets look like they're probably going to make the playoffs. I can't imagine them wanting to trade a guy who's been one of their starters for DeLon Wright, who's going to at best be a backup to D'Angelo Russell on that team. Like, it's just none of these deals seem to really be mutually beneficial that I've seen brought up, so I just don't think there's anything out there that really makes sense. That said, Terrence Ross, baby, bring it, like, make it happen. There's something there, I think, if you were to do like DeLon and Miles, maybe. But even then, people seem really eager to trade DeLon Wright right now. I don't get it. He is, yeah, not having his best season, but he's also one of the best creators on the team. And one of the things this team lacks in, like, you know, there's not, like, I wouldn't say there's a lack of playmaking, but there's not exactly a surplus of it either. And DeLon provides a bit of extra juice and spark and dynamism that, you know, a lot of guys on the team don't offer. And it seems a little bit premature to want to deal him because he's had a couple rough weeks. And again, you're trading guys at the bottom of their value. You're not going to get anything back anyway that's worth really adding to your team. So I, you know, the ideas of like Bradley Beal and CJ McCollum are nice. I don't think the Blazers are like looking to trade CJ McCollum right now, unless it's something that makes them actively better. And the Wizards, like, how many times does Ted Leonsis have to say he's not tanking? And how many times does Bradley Beal have to save the Wizards' asses for you to realize they're not going to trade him? Yet people still keep bringing him up. It's just this whole part of the season is exhausting to me because the Raptors don't need to do anything. And just making a trade for the sake of making a trade, I think, is almost always a mistake. And, you know, this team, as it stands, can make the finals. Obviously, like, they're not going to reach their ceiling if, like, Kyle Lowry doesn't, you know, bring his offense back to something resembling what we think he's capable of shooting-wise. But other than that, like, this team is very good. It's very deep. And, you know, I understand the impulse to want to sort of consolidate some assets, considering, you know, playoff rotations only go 9 deep at best, and you're going to have some extra guys who aren't really going to be useful. But I think with the way this team is built, having 12 guys for a playoff run isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it means for different series and matchups, you can swap in different guys at the end of your bench. I think there's probably like 6 or 7 guys who are guaranteed to play a lot in the playoffs, and then the last 2 or 3 guys are just going to swap out based on the series. And, you know, compromising that flexibility, you know, series to series, matchup to matchup, in lieu of, you know, getting some extra piece who's like maybe just going to play a more steady bench role for you, I'm not sure is entirely worth it. So that's my final say on the trade.
Well, I mean, since we are talking about trades, and, yeah, you know, I have your ear, you know, that according to the trade machine, the Raptors can get Terrence Ross for DeLon Wright and CJ Miles.
Buddy, I've done this trade before. Okay. Don't you worry. I think CJ Miles and Malachi Richardson works as well, but I don't know why the Magic would do that. I know all the different additions or renditions of trades that work for Terrence Ross. This is something I've studied for. It's the only thing I use the trade machine for, is Terrence Ross Toronto trade scenarios, so I'm all set there.
I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, though, if Terrence Ross came back, that would be story of the year. It would be delightful. Bench gunner Terrence Ross carries the Raptors, fixes the Raptors' bench. Mwah. It'd be beautiful. just don't trade him to the Sixers, and I'll be happy, really. Hang on to him, Orlando. He can help you in your playoff matchup against Milwaukee in the first round. We're going to take a quick break once again. On the other side, we're going to talk about a thing that's really bothering me with regards to the All-Star format, and I'm sure Jay will chime in some stuff as well if I allow him to on my giant rant that's about to come. But first, I want to remind people, you can listen to the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speaker. I have a smart speaker. I'm not going to say her name right now because then she will turn on and start talking to me. But she is very good at playing the podcast. I just say, hey, smart speaker, play podcast Locked On Raptors. And guess what? The podcast plays and it's great. I don't got to touch a button ever. You can do that with all the smart speakers that are out there on the market. Google Home, the one I have in my house. I think Apple, like iHome or whatever it is, works too. Just say to your smart speaker, you want to play the Locked On Podcast Network, say the podcast, and it'll play for you. Never touch a button. And if you got one over the holidays, this is a great use for it. If you can't quite find a use for yours, I don't really have that many uses for mine, to be honest. It's just kind of here, listening, and documenting everything I say. You know, if you want to put it to use, make sure you play the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speaker. All right, let's wrap this thing up, Jay. I have a beef. Would you like me to detail this beef?
Please.
Okay, the All-Star format for the draft being televised on February 7th is dumb as hell, and I hate it, and it's so dumb, it makes me so angry thinking about all of the different ways in which the NBA has kind of screwed this up. So let me start, and then I'll let you chime in with your opinions on it as well. So this was announced yesterday that February 7th, which is a Thursday, a TNT game, I think the Lakers play the Celtics at 8 o'clock, they're going to be doing the All-Star Draft. So many problems with this. First of all, it's really stupid they're not doing it on like All-Star Friday while everyone's there in the same room. You get to see the reactions, you get to see the interplay. Maybe like the NHL, guys will have drinks and it becomes a little bit more fun and light and enjoyable. And that's not going to be the case. It's going to be televised. Number two, it's happening at 8 o'clock on a Thursday, a game in which there are like 10 games going on in the NBA. So like a third of I think there's 7 games going on, but like a third of the league is going to be playing games at the time. And I'm assuming like the Raptors play that night, there are going to be guys who are going to be drafted who are going to be in the middle of games and not even get to see when they got drafted. And you're not going to get any reaction because no one's going to be in the same place. It's going to be LeBron and Giannis Skyping each other, essentially. And also, as I mentioned, the Lakers play on that Thursday, so it's going to be pre-taped. It's going to have no juice to it at all. There's going to be no like drama. There's going to be no stakes because no one's in the room watching them. It's just going to be Giannis and LeBron doing like an around-the-horn style draft, and it's going to suck. And, like, it's not hard to figure out how to fix this. The NHL did a fantasy draft for their All-Star game 2 years in a row, and it ruled. It was awesome. And the NBA is doing a thing worse than the NHL, which is, like, pretty much the biggest indictment on a sports league that you could possibly have. And rant, the NBA has screwed this up so royally and made a fun thing into something that's going to be just, like, watered down and crappy. Jay, do you agree with my opinions on this?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay.
And I guess before I continue the rant, did this start basically because of last year's non-televised draft? Is that why they're doing this? Is it because
everyone realized that was stupid as hell too?
Like, who cares? Like, I don't care who LeBron chose first or second on his squad. Like, that's irrelevant to me, right? Mm-hmm. So, and along the same lines of what you were saying is like, yeah, like a bunch of these teams are going to be playing, so it's so anticlimactic for them. Like, why would you? I don't know. I have so many views with this too. And the bonus of having this done on the Friday when everyone is in the house is like, then you get to see their facial reactions. I mean, that's part of the pricelessness of this, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you want to see guys get to, you want to see the last guy in the green room kind of thing going on, right?
So exactly.
I don't know. I'm of the same mind. There are so many things wrong with this, especially in the fact that on that day, you're going to have possible starters all playing. Like, you've got the Raptors playing that day, the Lakers, the Celtics. That's LeBron, that's Kawhi, that's Irving. I think OKC is also playing that day. Like, yeah. George is right now slightly ahead of KD for that last spot. I mean, That's a shit show if I've ever heard of one.
Yeah, you got Lillard playing, there's lots of guys who are going to be drafted who are not going to get to watch. Towns, whoever's on the Clippers, Oladipo, it's so dumb.
The Lakers are facing the Celtics that day, and at the end of the game, you know, it ends up being like an exciting match. You know, it's Irving against LeBron, mm-hmm. and the first thing they're going to say in the postgame is, hey, do you guys know you guys are going to be teammates?
Yeah.
Like, you guys got drafted together. Like, who cares?
Exactly. And, like, there's going to be, like, an interview with Kawhi Leonard after the game when they play, I think, Atlanta that night. And it's going to be like, hey, Kawhi, what do you think about getting drafted to Team Giannis? And Kawhi's going to be like, oh, I didn't see it. It's not interesting to me. Whatever. Like, it's going to be so anticlimactic. We're going to get no good reaction. Whereas if you get, like, the raw, like, facial expressions of everybody in the room, you get Joel Embiid probably in the Shirley Temples, just like riled up in the draft room. Like, if the NHL can do it, there's no reason the NBA can't. It's just so dumb. It's not that hard to get this right, and they keep screwing it up in subtle different ways each year. And I love the concept, the fantasy draft thing, especially in basketball, when you think of just like picking teams on the playground. Like, it's amazing. It's perfect. But the execution of it has just been botched so royally, and I hate it. And I'm glad that I have an ally in you. It seemed like not enough people were mad about this yesterday on the internet, and that really bugged me. It feels like this should be a thing more people are pissed off about.
I think they will get pissed off once they see it.
Yeah, like once Woj starts leaking who got picked in the pre-taped draft at 4 o'clock, yeah, it's going to suck.
Yeah, it's going to be a disaster. And, you know, it's funny because, like, the NBA has actually been pretty good with listening to what the fans say and trying to make it a thing, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are about, you know, I believe it was last night or two nights ago when the NBA announced that, you know, they're going to allow the refs to be contacted during games or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And already we're starting to see some pretty priceless tweets from LeBron and from, I think, someone was talking about Rondo. Like, these are going to be some pretty good tweets that come out. So that, I think, will end up being a success. But this is disaster written all over it.
Yeah. It's not even that it'll be a disaster. It'll just be, like, something that happened that no one thinks about or no one remembers. And, like, this should be a memorable thing. It's the All-Star game. It should be fun. And you should be maximizing the amount of fun you can have with it. And they just have not done that at all. Anyway, rant over. Glad that you are with me on this, Jay. I would have been really mad if you were opposed. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Jay, thank you so much for coming on. You came on short notice, and it's very much appreciated. Where can people check your work out?
Thank you for having me on. You can find me, as you mentioned earlier, on Raptors HQ. Got the weekly article every Monday where I talk about the games upcoming for the Raptors on the week. So that went up on Monday. I was also on this week's HQ Roundtable with Mitch and Sully. And we have our podcast. That's a Rap Podcast. We've got some exciting news to announce about that in the next couple of days. Check us out on anywhere you catch your pod. Wherever you're catching a pod right now, just find, look up That's a Rap. And then on Twitter, you can find me at Rosalesaurus. RosalesAurus.
Very good Twitter handle. I like it a lot. Play That's a Rap on your smart speaker. Why not? After you play Lockdown Raptors, throw that up. It's no buttons. It's the best. Anyway, that's going to do it. You can follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Podcatcher, Friend, Podfella, wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, rate, and or review. It's very helpful. Makes us feel good. And that's going to do it. I think that's it for the week as well. I don't think I'll be able to get an episode out over the weekend. But check out us out on Monday. We'll have another podcast, and we'll talk to you then on Locked On Raptors.